I first started running about 15 years ago as a way to quit smoking. Back then, my running clothes were very Rocky Balboa, so sweatpants, sweatshirt. Anyone who goes hiking or trail running knows that it's a lot easier and a lot more fun when you're wearing the right gear. Jonji makes performance apparel that'll take you farther on your runs and hikes. They have this merino wool hoodie that I wore on multiple trail runs this weekend. It's soft, it's warm, and most importantly, it does not get stinky when you get stinky. Another reason to love Jonji is that they donate 2% of all sales towards clean water projects, raising nearly $1 million so far. Head to jonji.com to find your new favorite trail wear, outdoors accessories, and essentials. And use the code OUTSIDE for 10% off at jonji.com. That's JANJI.com with the code OUTSIDE for 10% off. When I was a little kid, my whole family, grandparents included, packed into a Dodge Caravan and went on a 2-week road trip to Wyoming. We saw the rodeo in Cody, a grizzly bear in Yellowstone National Park, and an epic thunderstorm near Devil's Tower. On that trip, I fell in love with the West and the natural world. This might sound cheesy, but it kind of made me who I am today. Wyoming has it all. Breathtaking hikes, kid-friendly museums, two of the coolest national parks in the country. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com.
Hey, hey, this is Outside In. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Nate Hedgey, who was out on vacation when I was working on this episode. Before he left, though, I pulled Nate into a studio and I asked him some questions. When you were growing up, did your parents like drag you out on hikes or walks or like out into the woods?
No, I wouldn't say dragged.
The reason I'm asking is that my only child is nearing 13 years old. It's an age where you can feel your sphere of influence waning. And I have been wondering lately, how much does family really shape who you grow up to be?
Are they pretty outdoorsy?
Well, this is way too much TMI. But I would know for a fact that I was conceived in a van in the mountains. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Nate's family hails from British Columbia. And every summer, his folks would ship him off to Vancouver Island to spend some time with relatives. This one time, his uncle took him on a 40-mile hiking trip.
And there was one night, we were camping in his van, and all of a sudden we hear like rustling in the bushes nearby, and I start panicking, and he's like, no, it's a bear, and I start really panicking when he says it's a bear. And I remember I also got a bunch of blisters on that hike, and I had a camera that my dad had borrowed me that I dropped into a stream, and then I lied about it to him, and it wasn't working. I was like, I don't know why it's not working. That was very imprinted in me as being a sufferfest.
I don't know if you're a Calvin and Hobbes fan, but anything like that, his dad is always like, it builds character. Like, they go camping and it rains the whole time, and it builds character.
Builds character.
And yeah. I'm actually, like, not sure. Does it build character or not? Because some people, they go through that, and they're like, I'm out.
I think it depends on the character, whether it builds character, you know?
Do you think your parents fostered your outdoorsiness in you, or do you think that's you?
They did. 100%. They and my uncle and my grandparents. I can mark the memories of like, this is awesome and this sucks, but mostly like, this is awesome. You know, even that sufferfest of a hike with my uncle, it all kind of cemented an awe for getting outdoors. I would say them 100%.
But here's my question. If your family gets 100% credit for your love of the outdoors, is it also 100% their fault if you grow up to hate it?
Hiking's like going for a walk and like tripping like every 10 minutes.
She was like, we just gotta turn around.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely not.
Today on Outside In, we are exploring stories of people navigating nature and family dynamics. Can you shape your kids into hardcore hikers?
I just drove 2.5 hours to this trailhead. We are making it to the end.
and what happens when your best laid plans go off the map.
It was actually a really sad story. All my other shitting my pants stories are funny, but it was a really sad time.
So a few years ago, I went through a big hiking phase. I was newly divorced. Every other weekend was wide open. So I would drive up to the White Mountains in New Hampshire and climb sometimes 10, 12 miles in one go. And I discovered that I loved the way my inner monologue fades away on a trail, the way my muscles ache on the drive home. But hiking with my son back then was a very different story. There were tiny excursions, constant stopping. It was like ordering a big dessert and only being allowed to take a bite. My heart rate felt like it never left the parking lot. So I started to come up with a kind of multi-year roadmap, a set of principles that I thought would shape him into a person who likes hiking the way I like hiking. And it turns out I am not the only parent to do this.
Tell me what you had for breakfast.
I had cinnamon toast because it's just whatever Everett did not eat.
I know, right? It's like, you've just become a garbage disposal for your children's leftovers.
Yeah, leftover strawberries, a little bit of yogurt, some granola.
This is Sarah LaMagna, rhymes with lasagna. She's an ecologist turned freelance writer. Her first book is a guide called Hiking with Kids in New England. And if you flip through it, you'll see it is peppered with pictures of her and her son Everett, who is now 6 years old.
I always told people and myself that I would never revolve my life around my kid, that my kid would become a part of our lives. And wow, did that blow up in my face.
Hiking with anybody is a relationship stress test. But hiking with kids is all the hardest parts of parenting distilled into a single activity. There are no distractions. You can't park your kids in front of an iPad. You still have to manage all their bodily functions, only without the benefit of a toilet or a sink. And there are all sorts of elements outside your control. Literal elements. Rain, cold, wind, sun. And like all parenting, you're trying to ride the line between not making your kids hate you, but still pushing them to persevere. I have learned there are no silver bullets to making it all work. But there are a few tips that Sarah and I think can smooth the process.
I call them the five shuns, the T-I-O-Ns.
You can feel free to take notes.
So the first one is transportation. Yes, I realize your kid can hike up whatever mountain in Crocs. Good for you. My kid cannot.
I'm not a shill for the outdoor industry, but I can confirm good gear makes a difference, especially on kids. Sarah's second shun is another safety must. Insulation.
I would put socks on his hands and then put mittens over his hands.
Layers, 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 folks.
Then third one is distraction.
Distraction is kind of the scavenger hunt model, which is don't assume that the hike itself is a means to an end for a kid.
It's like an entertainment for them. Yeah. It won't be. We bring a kid-friendly camera, and he could chuck it anywhere he wanted, and it was pretty much indestructible.
Shun number four is an obvious one.
Motivation.
Bring candy.
He's very food driven. He's like a dog. And so I would say if you make it to a trailblaze before I do, you can have a gummy bear. But the problem with gummy bears, at least for my kid, is it backed him up for like 3 days afterward. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
And so I learned to do M&Ms, which was a little bit better and way cheaper.
And the final shun, celebration. It could be a thermos of hot cider at the top, could be a matchbox car you kept in your pocket. The point here is that most young kids do not care about the view at all. So give them something else to make sure it feels like a win.
My kid's only six, so he's still kind of learning. But he can do, so the biggest hike he's done is 6 miles, and he did all of like that on his own. I didn't carry him at all.
That's strong.
That's real strong. Wasn't a huge amount of elevation gain, but like it's these little increments throughout the six. I mean, he's been hiking since he was 6 weeks old. That was his first hike. Every time someone says, how do I get hiking with my kids? I just say, start yesterday. Like that's, it's just like planting trees. Like how do we save the world? And we plant trees. Well, we should have planted trees 50 years ago.
This all seems to have worked for our kids. They both claim to enjoy hiking, brag about it even. But to a lot of parents listening right now, Sarah and I probably sound insufferable. And that's because every new parent is conducting a social experiment with a sample size of one. And the results of that study are very rarely replicable.
You know, it's not like spicy food. You can't like subject them to it at an early age and then they'll develop a tolerance for it. If they don't like it, they don't like it.
This is my friend and colleague, Nick Capodice. You've probably heard him on the show.
And you know what? I didn't like hiking as a kid. I really didn't. And I did it all the damn time. Like, all the time. With both my parents on two different continents. I think it was that early subjection to it that maybe turned me off of it in my adulthood.
His story in just a minute.
How are business leaders working to confront climate change? For that answer, listen to the award-winning Climate Rising podcast, produced by Harvard Business School and hosted by me, Mike Toffel, a professor at HBS. Each episode, we share a behind-the-scenes view into how startups and the biggest businesses like Microsoft, Google, and Seventh Generation are tackling the central issue of our era. Check out Climate Rising wherever you get your podcasts.
So you never had a hike where you pushed it a little bit because you wanted something?
Oh, I definitely have.
Welcome back to Outside In. I'm producer Taylor Quimby, taking over for Nate. And today we are talking about hiking and family dynamics.
Yeah, no, I mean, you'd like to think that you're selfless the minute you have a child, but no. That has not happened to me yet. I am still very selfish. I just drove 2.5 hours to this trailhead. We are making it to the end.
Every so often, you meet someone who hikes exactly like you do. They keep the same pace. They like to talk just as much or as little. And when you find that person, it feels like the miles practically walk themselves. But more often than not, hiking is a negotiation of wills. Someone is the pusher, someone is the one being pushed.
Why are we here? Why am I doing this? When are we going to get to the top? When is this over?
Throw family dynamics into the mix, and a casual walk in the woods can turn into an episode of Naked and Afraid. So for the rest of the episode, we're going to explore what happens when expectations don't line up and things get messy. And we're starting with my friend Nick.
So when I was about 7 years old, my mom and moved to New Zealand. So she moved to another country for the rest of my life. And I'd only see her like once every couple years or so. And then one big stint when I was 12, I visited her for a year in New Zealand.
This was a pretty tough time for Nick. And you can imagine it was pretty tough for his mom, too.
We were all kind of like navigating, you know, who is this person? Both of us thinking that of the other.
Nick was an indoor kid. He was homesick for the States and whiling away the hours watching Adventures of the Gummy Bears on TV. His mom, more of an adventurer, decided he needed more outdoor time.
So after dinner one night, she insisted we go out for a hike. And I was like, sure, you know, that sounds like a fine idea. You know, a family hike.
Now, hiking in New Zealand is quite literally the stuff of fantasy. It's where they shot The Lord of the Rings. I've dreamed of going there myself. And right inside the city of Wellington, where Nick and his mom lived, is a horseshoe-shaped ring of wilderness trails called the Greenbelt.
It is glorious. It is glorious. And the Shire is where where her house was when I was a kid.
Oh my God.
That's where they filmed all the Shire scenes. And about 20 minutes into the hike, you know, we'd gotten to just sort of the woodsy area. I really, like, really badly had to go to the bathroom and to be fair, Taylor, this happens to me a lot whenever I'm hiking. I'm kind of known amongst my circle of friends as somebody who doesn't have to go to the bathroom, and then instantly it's an emergency. So I asked my mom, I was like, hey, can we, I got to turn back. You know, I really have to go to the bathroom. And she utterly refused. She said, no, you know, we're going on this hike and we're going to do it. And I said, okay, because I'm not really one for conflict.
Now, if you have ever pooped in the woods, you know that it is preceded typically by an agonizing silent deliberation. Was there a porta potty in the parking lot? Could I make it down? If I can't, what am I using for toilet paper? That anxiety has objectively ruined hikes for me as an adult. So imagine you're 12.
By the time everything got very serious, we had left the forest and we were back in a neighborhood of houses in Wellington. And there was no stores, there were no bars, there was nowhere I could go, and there were no trees. And I said, you know, this is an emergency. And I remember her very clearly saying, just pinch it together, dude. Just pinch it together and keep it together. And I tried that and it didn't work. And I shat my pants terribly, colossally in the middle of the city of Wellington. And she said, what happened? And I remember saying, well, what do you think, mother? What do you think? And I went home and just took my clothes off and tried to throw them in the washing machine by myself to sort of hide it from my mom. And it was actually a really sad story. All my other shitting my pants stories are funny, but it was a really sad time because neither of us wanted this to happen. And it was kind of a wonderful representation of where we were in our relationship.
As you might expect from this story, adult Nick is not what you would call a hiker. We've been friends for years. I do not think we've ever been in the woods together.
I think the magic is gone for hiking for me, and that's a little sad, but that's the truth. I think it was that early subjection to it that maybe turned me off of it in my adulthood.
You know, this being said, Nick, you know, as parents now, We both also understand the desire to get your kids into the stuff that you love.
Yeah.
Partially, you know, to share this thing you love, but also for the selfish reason of wanting to be able to do it. You and I both have, like, introduced our kids to board games.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And you know sometimes when you're, like, when you're pushing it, you know?
Yeah, that literally happened yesterday for me. Yeah, I pushed it a little hard, but, you know... you know what, though? I gotta say, it's such a tender balance, Taylor. You know? Mm. You know, I've had tremendous success at getting one of my kids interested in board games. And I think that is because you gotta not just make them do the thing, but you have to express constantly your love for it and why you love it and why it means so much to you. And that means the kid will want to do it to sort of make you a little happy. But if they don't like it, they'll let you know. But if you're open about, you know, I love doing this so much, then you're going to be a little more likely, I think, to have the kid try it. But you got to listen if they don't like it. You can't win them all.
Whether we're talking about physical injuries or emotional scars, and pooping your pants probably counts as both, any kind of bad experience could turn a young person off to something like hiking. But for some kids, the dislike of hiking is much more fundamental. It's not about the bad memories you've made. It is about the thing itself.
So, Daisy, how much did your mom tell you about why we're chatting?
About my love for hiking.
I'm guessing that was kind of sarcastic.
Yeah, I don't like hiking, like, at all.
Yeah.
This is Daisy. She's 13 years old, the baby of the family. I zoomed with her while her mom, Mary Elizabeth, sat next to her on the couch, and she had the glazed expression of a youngest child who's seen it all.
What's the first time you remember hiking at all as an activity?
Probably Acadia National Park. And it was, what's it called? Bumblebee Hive?
The Beehive.
The Beehive, okay. At Acadia. And I just remember I hated it. And I was like 5 years old.
Okay, so like you remember it from a pretty young age.
Oh, we're a hiking family. So it started off really young. And I hated it really young. My sister actually wrote her college essay about her love for hiking. And my whole family, they all love it. So it's actually really hard for me. They're like, why don't you like it? They go on hikes all summer, like into the winter, and they love it.
Can you explain what you don't like about it? Or is it just like a thing that you know?
Okay, so you just combined walking with like the fear of tripping over roots every 3 seconds. And most of the time, the scene is like, you sit there for like 5 minutes, you're like, okay, this is cool. And then you walk back down. When you could just like look at a picture or like drive, most of the trails have a way to drive up the mountain. So it's not really like the fear of getting lost and killed in the middle of the woods. Like if I wanted to go rock climbing, I could go rock climbing. If I wanted to go for a walk, I'd just go for a walk.
Yeah. That's the funny part about you, Daisy, is she has rock climbed like a lot, like on cliffs. She skis. Like, so she does all these things on the side of mountains, but doesn't like to hike.
Yeah, I rock climb. I love sports. I love mountains. I love being outside. Mountains are so beautiful. I hate hiking.
So do you think that even if kids don't like hiking, maybe it's a good thing for kids to be like pushed into these situations to see if they're into it? Or do you think you shouldn't force it if, you know, a kid's like really not into it?
I feel like it's a good thing to make children try new things. And, you know, like your taste buds change every like couple years.
Yeah.
Kids' interests do that too. So like, once a year, I'll let them force me to go on a hike.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed, but sometimes things like that do change. So at least once a year, or like, you know how like they're like, take a couple bites of your vegetables, then you can be done. Like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Let's just go for like a 1 mile hike in 6 months, and then you'll be done for the rest of the year. Just one hike.
Yeah. Daisy, if you ever do a 180 and you decide that you love hiking, I want you to try and get back in touch with me and let me know, okay?
I will immediately let you know, because I'm pretty sure I'll be so much more shocked than you if that ever happens in my lifetime.
So some of my first memories actually hiking, climbing on the rocks along those rapids there. And I was probably like 7 or 8 years old.
Our next story of hiking and family comes from this guy, Miles Lashway. I met him on a Facebook group for people who climb New Hampshire's highest peaks. People post trail conditions, pictures, argue about crowds and gear. I posted a message there asking for family hiking stories. And he sent me back one that was different from all of the others.
But it definitely wasn't something I was afraid of. Like, I was never afraid of going into the woods, going to nature, you know, which has been a challenge for other people of color.
Niles grew up in Virginia. But before that, he and his family traveled all over the world. His parents were diplomats for the State Department. Back in the 70s, when they first got married, they were posted in Pakistan and hiked all through the Himalayas. So they brought Niles up to appreciate the outdoors, too. And as he got older, it started to become a big part of his personality. And then one day, as an adult, he was out with some friends in the Boston area.
And I think we did like a Halloween like night hike, you know, and this was in one of the more people of color, like centered communities, areas.
Sure.
And I had this black family saying, oh, black people don't hike. We just have a little conversation. I remember them specifically saying that, you know, as they're pushing their kids in the stroller. Like, black people don't hike. And that was when it kind of stuck with me.
Niles is an adoptee, He's black. His parents are white. Did it like make you rethink how, you know, like your childhood, or did it, like, how did it affect you?
A little bit in terms of like, yeah, like, oh, like I started thinking about like kind of reasons why, the inequities around it.
For Niles, his parents taught him to love the outdoors, but the lesson kind of stopped there, and he's had to learn what that actually means as a biracial man, especially when he lived in Pennsylvania a little later and started hiking a lot on and near the Appalachian Trail.
And that is when I started to notice the challenges faced by the outdoor community around hiking. You know, the models and all that kind of stuff you see on the advertisements tend to be white. The employees in the outdoor stores tend to be white. In some of those communities, like, you would see Confederate flags, you would see bumper stickers like, ammo costs money, I don't give warning shots, you know. And as a person of color in a community where there's very, very few people that look like me, like, I was petrified of, like, going down the wrong, taking the wrong turn, or having my car break down and having to ask for directions.
It's almost like the isolation that a lot of people are looking for on a hiking experience, right? I'm trying to, like, get away.
Yeah.
You can just take that exact same thing that people are seeking and, like, turn it on its head.
Yeah, especially when there's people that don't look like you, that don't necessarily know your experiences. And I'm the first to say I grew up in privilege. Like, I was not wanting for means. But people still see me as a black man, and I would still get looks. I would still get people acting differently around me.
Nowadays, Niles and his wife live in Massachusetts, and he hikes a lot in the White Mountains. He says he sees less Confederate flags, with the emphasis on less. I mean, have you talked to your parents about your experiences? Like, do they understand this perspective that you're putting out, or is that hard
for
them?
We have a strained relationship when I was growing up in high school because of the dynamics around, like, identity issues and stuff. I was a very angry teenager. But, like, they like all my hiking posts on Facebook. But I don't necessarily know, as, you know, a white family, if they can truly get it. Like, they can get it on an intellectual level. But I don't know if they can get it on a, like, emotional, intellectual level.
Do you wish that your parents, I don't know, like, had talked to you about what it means to be a person of color on a hiking trail or in the woods? Or are you glad that, like, you were exposed to something without that?
Yes and no. Like, do I wish they did? Yeah. But at the same time, like, how would a white family talk to the adopted black son about being black? You know, especially in the trails. You know, it seemed like an impossible task. But maybe they could have done something to, like, expose me to other people of color. Like, I really didn't know that many black people growing up. But, yeah. But at the same time, like, you know, the mountains don't care, you know, what color the people are. That's, you know, they're walking up and down the slope, you know.
It's clear from our conversation, Niles has a lot of good memories from being outside as a kid. And he says he still hikes with his parents every now and again. They were supposed to do Monadnock a few years ago, but he sprained his ankle. He doesn't have any kids of his own, but he works at a nonprofit that does violence prevention, helping gang-involved kids get their high school diplomas.
I work with 17 to 25-year-olds. And some of them are really excited. Some of them, like, hell no. Like, well, I actually had one young adult just messaged me the other, like, last week saying, hey, I really enjoyed hiking. When are we going? And he's not even with the program anymore. He aged out. And most of the young people I do work with are people of color.
So do you feel like you maybe get an opportunity to, like, be representation for folks and be like, listen, hey, black folks hike.
I say that pretty regularly, to be honest. Like, yeah, we hike, we ski, you know. There may not be many of us, but it is something we can do. But you do have to be mindful of these challenges.
So I'm going to try and squeeze in just one more story. And this one is a reminder that even when things go wrong, it sometimes all works out in the end.
I looked up hikes that said they were going to be easy. This lied.
This is my son's aunt, Titi Sarah.
It said it was supposed to be like a simple hike. It was great for kids, whatever. And I was like, sweet.
You should preface by saying, too, it was your second hike after having this baby. You haven't,
for
like...
sure.
That's my ex and co-parent, Tiffany.
Like 100 degrees or something.
Yeah, it got way hot. Like,
and that's our son, 12-year-old Phineas.
Yeah, but he was doing great. Honestly,
oh, yeah. He was
Finn was phenomenal. He was like powering through. He was, you had Beau, so you were like... Guys.
As much as I've tried to follow the five shuns, as much as I've tried to make hiking always be a positive experience, I have made some errors of judgment. I've forced things too far when it was time to turn back. I've gotten us lost and had to call Tiffany to come pick us up on some back road miles from our car. But Phineas's most memorable bad hike happened on the Welsh Dickey Loop in the southern White Mountains. Finn was hiking with two dogs.
Me, Beau, Rosie.
Tiffany and Titi Sarah each had a baby strapped to their backs.
Cal. Yeah, Cal.
And things went off the rails pretty quick.
So about maybe like halfway up, Sarah was like in tears.
Yeah.
Was laying down on the ground, was like, she couldn't do it. I had, like, the kids, like, hiding in a bush in the shade, just trying to, like, rub her back and encourage her.
I remember that.
Because she was like, we just got to turn around.
Go back. Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely not. We are on this hike. You are going to do this. You're going to prove to yourself that you can get through this hard moment. We're going to show the kids that this is possible. And I just remember you looking at me and go, I don't want to.
Yeah. Don't want to. Can we get somebody to helicopter us out? Can...
So at that point.
All the humans had enough water, but they hadn't factored in the dogs. So they ran out halfway through with the sun still beating down.
Because I think we were out of water by that point.
Dude, we were out of water and you ate watermelon.
Yeah, I hate watermelon.
You hate watermelon. And you were so...
You're so desperate. You needed.
You were like, oh my god, fine. And you made the most disgusting face while you ate it, but you ate it because you were like, I'm dying.
You hate watermelon.
I do.
And here's the kicker. Welsh Dickey is called Welsh Dickey because it has two peaks. Welsh and Dickey.
I know.
Yeah.
I was so upset after the first one to find out that there was a second one. It was not
she
good.
She was literally in tears. She's like, we made it. And I go, this is not it. And that was the second stop in mental breakdown.
Yeah. I was really like, can we really please call a helicopter?
I'll summarize the rest of the story, which is more of the same. Sarah was in tears most of the way down. Finn made it to the bottom first with the dogs. Got to wait in the AC. But I remember him telling me about what a fiasco it was later that week. And I worried that all my careful planning would come undone.
Did it impact you?
No.
In your, you don't think so?
No, I still love hiking. And I still loved hiking after that.
Yeah. I think we went on a different hike with Aunt Kathy again shortly thereafter, because I was like, we're going to show them that just because that bad one happened, there wasn't going to be like another mix of some good ones.
Yeah, we did that.
And I do remember, though, when we went on this hike with Aunt Kathy, you go, do we have enough water?
Are you at this stage like a lifelong hiker, do you think? Like it's a thing that you will always enjoy?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm, you know, we've hiked so much. That's kind of just like in my brain, I still love hiking, and I probably will when I grow up and stuff.
It's funny when I think about it. It's like for all the fear of like a traumatic story, the traumatic stories are like more fun.
Yeah. When you have a traumatic story, you're going to tell it in depth. But when you have a great hike, you're like, that was a cool hike. Nice view.
Well, that is going to be it for today. If you've got a story to share about how your family has shaped your view of hiking, for better or for worse, send a voice memo to outsideinn@nhpr.org, and we'll try to play it on a future episode. Bonus points if you get your kids to call in, because I love hearing kid voices. Thanks to all the folks that responded to my questions on Facebook. I know some of these stories are not easy to tell. And thanks especially to Chelsea Hanrahan and Katie Culinary for taking the time to chat with me and get cut from the final episode. This episode was produced by me, Taylor Quimby, sitting in the host chair for Nate Hedgie this week. It was edited by NHPR's Director of On-Demand Audio, Rebecca Lavoie. Our staff includes Justine Paradise and Felix Poon. Music by Blue Dot Sessions. Outside In is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Taylor! Taylor, it's Nick. I'm in New Orleans. Cammie, hello! How you doing?
Good.
I'm glad you found me. But here, I have one thing. I'm saying a thing to Taylor about hiking. One second. I'm recording it.
Okay.
So here's the thing. There's that very cynical poem by Philip Larkin. It's called This Be the Verse. They fuck you up your mom and dad. They may not mean to, but they do, etc. I think the point I want to make is, yes, our parents forced hiking down our throats, but it evolved into something different for me, which is good, which is an obsession with walking. It rhymes, it echoes with the former thing. I don't think it's bad for parents to foist the things they love on their children, but they gotta be cool when they evolve into something else. Something beautiful that rhymes. That's what I think. I love you. Bye.